This person really shouldn't ever get on the old show to tell the truth. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today, as usual, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of our Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Sitting here thinking about how to unmask some of these phonies in the media who are posing as one thing and actually being something else.
Well, we seem to have that quite a bit in the media, but this one's more pronounced than many others. Chuck, I guess I would have to say I'm a little jealous. I wish that we could come up with something or call somebody out on air that would create just as much media attention as Rush Limbaugh did when he called out Georgetown University law student Sandra Fluke. I'm sure that everybody's heard of her name now. She was the law student who went before a panel with Nancy Pelosi and I believe Maxine Waters and others on it to basically decry the fact that without mandatory health insurance coverage and free insurance for the law students, well, they were just not going to be able to have sex because they couldn't afford the cost of contraceptives. Mr. Limbaugh did something that neither you or I would really condone, and that is using some very derogatory terms in order to reference this young lady, who turns out really not to be that young. You would think Georgetown University Law, she's in her early 20s. Nope. In reality, Sandra Fluke, who is actually a 30-year-old liberal activist, who has been at Georgetown University in their law school for the last 3 years, working specifically to do one thing, push for mandated contraceptive coverage and other sexual libertine type policies at the university. That's what she's there for. Yes, she's getting a law degree, but she's using it, as we talked about in an earlier program, it's a public interest scholarship that she was awarded, and that was for her activism, her liberal activism. So Limbaugh points all this out, but he doesn't use the best terminology in order to frame it, and he created a firestorm. Well, what happened was people started sniffing around and thinking, okay, there's more to this story than meets the eye. Well, sure enough, and I think you and I have said it on this program before, there's a lot more to this than what was being reported in the major media.
There's way more to it, Barry. This woman attended Georgetown by her own admission to get the contraceptive policy changed there. She is a past president of something called the Law Students for Reproductive Justice. And there we go with that word justice again. Justice has a specific meaning. But these people are playing equivocation and trying to make it mean entirely something else, as if there's no justice unless someone else pays for your reproductive prevention kit, if you will. She is there at Georgetown on a specific type of scholarship. She is a public interest scholarship recipient. It's a full ride, and it is funded usually by scholarships underwritten by foundations. Now, if any of you listened to, not this last Saturday, but a week ago last Saturday, I did a report on this, and we talked about what a public interest scholarship was, and that the foundations underwrite it, and the foundations that are underwriting it are doing so in hopes of completely changing over the way government and public policy function. Mm-hmm. They are hoping to have a quiet revolution and suddenly turn us into what amounts to a socialist republic through a revolution in the way we do things. What the attempt here to do is to force a private institution to offer insurance plans that would guarantee students contraceptive coverage, despite the fact that it flies in the face of their religious belief and the belief that that kind of a thing would be a slap in the face of God.
Chuck, it's interesting that you mentioned the whole idea of shifting policies, because Sandra Fluke's not only trying to shift policies regarding contraceptive coverage, she actually has been pushing for the taxpayer, you and I, through health insurance to cover another quote-unquote medical necessity, and that is gender reassignment surgery. Because she believes, and she's written in a law review journal, in the Georgetown Journal of Gender and the Law, she co-edited an article with Karen Hu in this journal that basically said that it's discrimination deserving of legal action if employers do not cover gender reassignment surgery costs. this is where somebody wants to change from one gender to the other, and it's usually a pathology, Charles. For them, it's discrimination that needs legal action if you don't cover it and just approve it, pay for it, celebrate it, and otherwise make it easy for people to do.
Well, let's talk about this quote-unquote gender reassignment thing just for a minute, and I'll be as delicate as I can. I'm a biochemist, sure. And I have heard these stories about first man ever to have a baby and blah, 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 blah. All these things men are doing and women are doing that they shouldn't be able to do. Well, the reason they can do those things is because, for instance, this man that had a baby isn't a man. Right. She is a woman that refused to use the gender reassignment language, and that is calling a she a he. And the reason I do that is because God has already sanctioned what that person will be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking in terms of the genetic accidents that happen. There are weird genetic accidents. God is in control of all those things. But there are strange genetic anomalies in which people have the characteristics of both sexes because they have trisomy in the 23rd chromosome, and there'll be a double XY or an XYX. Things like that. That's something entirely different. What we're talking about here is a double X that wants to become an XY or an XY that wants to become a double X. And the fact is, you can change the plumbing and you can feed people hormone pills, and it doesn't change the basic fact that their cellular structure is double X or XY. So you cannot reassign a gender. You can artificially create the appearance of having the other sex, but it doesn't change the facts, as men having babies proves, because that man who had a baby wasn't a man. He was a woman. So we're talking about the impossibility of we can slap God in the face and say, I'm going to reassign. But the fact is that people that want to be the other sex, it is a pathology, Barry. It's not normal. It's not.
Exactly.
It is a major psychological issue that the American Psychological Association essentially has ignored and played politically correct and said, oh, no, it's a normal thing.
Well, and the big problem for Sandra Fluke and other liberal activists is that many companies are refusing to pay for this kind of coverage in their employee benefit packages or otherwise, and they're being sued in courts. But the courts are looking at the law and saying, no, this isn't a medically necessary surgery, so therefore they're not mandated or morally required in any way, shape, or form to cover it. And that doesn't sit well with the liberal crowd. As a matter of fact, it sits so unwell with the liberal crowd. Here's what Sandra Fluke and her co-editor wrote as they were reviewing these type of decisions and policies in this Georgetown Law Journal, and basically said the court's ruling was based upon controversy within the medical community regarding that treatment plan. And it goes on, it says, and this is interesting analysis, much of that controversy has been linked to ignorance and bias against transgender persons, and the American Medical Association has declared the lack of coverage to be discrimination. Okay, well, first and foremost, to say ignorance and bias is basically prejudicing the jury with inflammatory rhetoric and basically trying to pick a fight and using logical fallacies to do so.
Yeah.
And then
equivocation first among them.
Equivocation very first among them, marginalization as well. But then she goes on and then throws in the American Medical Association as if they're an expert that the courts must listen to when determining policy, that they've declared the lack of coverage to be discrimination. I'm going to just say this honestly. Who cares? The AMA is a professional association of members who pay their dues in order to join the club. It really doesn't matter, and they shouldn't be setting the policies for the nation and telling the court, well, you're discriminatory. No, let's just be quite honest about it. If the AMA were doing their job, they would not be doing gender reassignment surgeries. But because there's money in it, they want to make them legal and payable by insurance.
Okay, let's just take a minor sidebar for a second. The American Medical Association is a professional cartel.
Yes.
It is a professional cartel that has worked. It has created some of the problem in the healthcare industry by keeping the number of medical school positions low to keep the number of doctors available low in order to run the price for the service up.
So in other words, they're using basic economic models of scarcity and demand to drive prices higher.
This is why you essentially, if you come out of a school with quote-unquote non-accredited medical degree, you basically can't get licensure. It has to be accredited by the American Medical Association, and the fact is that's done so they can keep a cap on the number of doctors who have their degrees who are allowed to practice medicine.
Chuck, that sounds a lot like socialism to me. Maybe I'm just being too simplistic.
Unfortunately, it's more like trade unionism.
Well, okay, well, close enough.
And that's why, you know, cartel, it is very much like some of the old guilds who kept their profession scarce enough. Now, the good thing they do is they provide training standards, but they also work to keep the profession scarce enough so that the price would remain high for the service. You have to take the good with the bad.
Absolutely.
You're right. The AMA has come out in favor of that because what you have done is create an entirely new specialty.
Yes.
And that is people that specialize in transgender surgery. It basically would serve them very well if the government would mandate insurance coverage to cover this. Now, of course, they're also well aware that it would also drive the cost of medical insurance through the roof.
Because yes.
These surgeries, they are multiple surgeries. They are exceedingly intricate and expensive. And they have to be done sometimes 20, 30 surgeries, followed by very expensive hormonal therapy. And once the hormonal therapy is cut off, the person begins to revert back to original sexuality, except that the plumbing is all different now. So,
and that can create a major problem.
Well, of course. This is what happens when you mess with the design of the manufacturer. This is sort of like dropping a V8 in a Vega. It looks really cool and it'll go really fast, but it'll probably kill you.
Well, you know, all in all, Chuck, what we're dealing with here is a situation where Sandra Fluke really hasn't been telling the total truth. She was brought forward to make it look like she was this poor college student who was doing her research like a good student of the law and was finding all these horrible things out. And it was just so, so much pain to her that she had to come forward to share the struggles of the poor young law students at Georgetown University. But that's not the case now, is it? Because what she's been doing is they've been going around and getting anecdotal evidence in order to come in and make a case for driving a political point.
What they're doing is gathering these oddball cases where coverage is denied for very strange reasons, and for the most part. And what's going on here is that this kind of thing is now being exposed. If it weren't for the new media, this woman would be being offered a sub-cabinet level position at this point.
Or being probably so.
That she probably will end up in a, because her training is such that she's the kind of person that certain people want to sit in government offices and mandate policy. And this is the kind of cycle that has to stop. Now, the beauty of the new media is she is being exposed for what she is, and that is an actress. She put on this big show for Nancy Pelosi's meaningless hearing that she held. This was a dog and pony show. The only members who were there were invited members of the committee who were all Democrats. There were no Republicans present because the committee was not actually in session at the time. This was an attempt to make it look like she testified in front of the whole committee, which she did not. One thing I would like to say about Mr. Limbaugh, he engaged in an ad hominem attack when he didn't need to. What he needed to do was do what I did a week ago last Saturday. That is, play her testimony and break it down and expose the lies. But instead, he chose to go bombastic. Okay, it's Rush Limbaugh. He's bombastic by nature. It's part of his shtick. He says right up front, I'm an entertainer, not necessarily an analyst. I didn't find that rant particularly entertaining. I also, though, agree with his apology insofar as he said, I became like the other side. That's exactly what happened. He basically reverted to their tactics in order to make a point. And the fact is that the other side has been doing this to people like Sarah Palin, like Ann Coulter, Laura Ingraham, saying these horrible things. Bill Maher is especially bad about this. Just saying, making these horrible comments and how they need to be raped. Just horrible things I can't repeat here. And no one has said anything. Limbaugh comes out, slams a woman for lying. And then in his apology, he basically said, I don't withdraw what I said about what she said. She is attempting to hijack a private institution's right to offer coverage on the basis of their own policies. And he's absolutely right. Now, what he did was he blew it, but his apology was correct. And maybe one of these days we'll sit down and actually play some of the things that Fluke said, what Limbaugh actually said, and his apology and the backlash. But we don't have time for that.
I guess if we're out of time, then we need to say, folks, if you want to learn more, go to our website at principledpolicy.com.
And be with us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.